Are you looking for food truck books to read, but you're starting to feel overwhelmed with all the content? Or maybe you're trying to find answers to your questions, but you realize you haven't asked the right questions to get those answers. Well, you're in luck. I wrote the book, Before You Launch a Food Truck, 8 Questions Every Aspiring Food Trucker Should Ask. For the past 5 years, I have been studying the food truck industry and been a diehard food truck customer. And in the process of that, I've learned a lot about what makes a good food truck stand out among the rest. I took 8 of those key concepts and created a book where I could have curbside conversations with each of you about them. What makes this book different is not only that it's digestible and designed to not overwhelm you, but it also propels you into action. You can purchase Before You Launch a Food Truck today at thefoodtruckscholar.com/shop in paperback and ebook format, as well as on Amazon. For every copy purchased, I'm donating a copy to organizations committed to helping formerly incarcerated individuals re-enter society, particularly those that are interested in starting their own food business. So, buy a copy today to help yourself and someone else get rolling and keep trucking. Looking for a way to support the Black community all year long? Download Eat Okra, the app that connects you to Black-owned food trucks and restaurants. Simply enter your location and find Black-owned spots near you. Don't see your favorite spot on the list just yet? You can recommend your favorite spot to be added to the app for others to enjoy as well. Download Eat Okra today. Supporting the Black food scene has never been easier. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Food Truck Scholar Podcast, brought to you by Eat Okra. I'm your host, Ariel D. Smith, and I appreciate you for choosing to kick it with us for season 3. Whether you've been rocking with the Food Truck Scholar since our Instagram Live days, the last 2 podcast seasons, or maybe you just stumbled across it right now, I want to say welcome to the Food Truck Scholar family. Today's show, I'm taking a moment to introduce and for some, reintroduce myself to you. How in the world did I become the Food Truck Scholar? What is the Food Truck Scholar podcast all about? Highlight a little bit of our journey in the past 2 seasons, and finally showcase our new segments, Curbside Conversations and Main Dish Discussions. But for now, sit back and relax. The show starts now. It's time for Curbside Conversations. Curbside Conversations are where our partners give you a snack-sized bite of information and inspiration before we move on to the main dish discussion. So let's jump in with our truck partners, Anthony and Janique Edwards of Eat Okra, the app that helps you find Black-owned food trucks and restaurants. A lot of things have been happening with Eat Okra, and I'm so excited to, you know, watch your growth, all the things that have happened. Really, I can't believe it's been like a year, and it's been much longer for you all working behind this. And so what we're going to do today is really give our listeners the opportunity to get to know you all, get to know more about Eat Okra, a lot of the exciting opportunities that you have coming up for 2021. And I cannot wait to share them with everyone. Talk to me now about, how did you get into this space? So you're in tech, are your careers in tech? So like, what background are you coming from?
My career is not in tech at all. I come from a government background. I started my career in government while I was in college. I was in college studying journalism. I wanted to be a journalist. That was like my dream. And then one of my professors recommended to me, you know, you should study English instead. It'll give you, you know, more versatility. So I decided, okay, I switched majors. And then I got a call to interview for Customs and Border Protection. And I started, you know, an internship with them. And it's been going on, I want to say 13 years now.
Wow.
Which sounds kind of scary and crazy. But yeah, it's been like 13 years now. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, for me, I guess my career started in the military. I did 6 years active duty in the Army, 3 years Air Force Reserves, and I was in aviation maintenance repair. So basically, I worked on all helicopters, on the radar systems, radio systems, and transponder systems, and basically anything that kept the plane in the sky and did not get shot down. And then, my career switched over to computer science. I went to college for it at Fordham University, graduated, got my first job, and about a year later, I met Janique, and we started building Edokra.
We love stories like these. So, first of all, thank you both for the work that you do. So, thank you, Anthony, for your service. And Janique, I want to just say thank you for just all the work that you're doing behind the scenes, because it's a lot of work. I got some government friends, and it takes a lot of work. So, thank you so much for all the stuff that you all have done and continue to do. I am truly grateful for that. And now, in the midst of everything, you was going into journalism, became an English major, now working, for the government. Anthony, you've been in the military, now you're doing computer science. So I can see, I can picture how all these different experiences tie into Eat Oprah. But what led to this moment of saying, it's time for an app to salute Black-owned businesses and food trucks? How did that come about?
Food, the need for food.
Yeah, to put it, in simplistic terms, I moved out here to Brooklyn back in 2016. And when I moved out, I'd been living with my mom, after I graduated from school for some years, paying off my student loans. And I finally had the opportunity to, move into my own place. And I was so excited about that I moved in before, my furniture and appliances were delivered. So for about a week or 2 weeks, we were sleeping on like an air mattress, and really we had to, venture out to find food. So, we were looking for all of these, restaurants and businesses to support, but also to like get to know the area because neither one of us knew much about Brooklyn. And, we were coming across lists and things like that we were kind of piecing together. And at the time, Anthony wanted to create an app. It was something that he'd never done before. So he was, bugging me, what should I make? What should I make? What should I, build? And I'm just like, you should build an app that makes finding Black-owned businesses, way more convenient than it is. So we figured a directory would be the best route. And we wanted to do all industries, but we quickly, realized that that would be too much of a daunting task for us to tackle.
Source.
Yeah. So we kind of settled on food. It made sense because, food itself is something that is galvanizing. It brings people together. And, everyone needs to eat at some point in the day. And from a, very practical standpoint, it felt like it was the right, direction to take.
And for those who don't know, Eat Okra has been instrumental for me personally. So can you walk us through, the app, some of the resources on it, and how if someone else wants to get listed on that app, how would they go about that process?
It's pretty simple. We try to make it as simple as possible. You download the app. On our app, you can look up based off where you're at in the location, and then we'll show you what's around you. You can also submit a new listing to us.
There's a recommend a business feature on the app. You can share businesses with other people. Like if you have a business and you want to tell your friend about it, you can send that business to them because so many people, a lot of the listings that we have now have been crowdsourced from our users. So people, definitely see the value in having, their favorite businesses added to our platform, which is pretty amazing to us.
You can create a collection. So whether you have a trip coming up or you want to list your favorite brunch spots in your city or another city, or you just want to create some kind of itinerary, there's a feature for that as well.
And you can leave reviews too for
Yeah.
restaurants.
I love it. So when you said like the little collections, I immediately thought about all my friends who love Pinterest, and that's all that they do is they create these little boards. So it's a little bit of opportunity for everybody in here. For those like most of my listeners, most of the food truckers we have on this show, it are Black. And that's intentional, is because we want to celebrate Black-owned businesses, and we also want to create a platform for them to be heard where they probably aren't heard elsewhere. And so for those of those food truckers that I have been, rocking with for quite some time, I want you to download this app. I want you to check out Eat Okra, and I want you to be added, because this isn't just an app for brick and mortar restaurants. This is an app for Black owned food trucks as well. I'm excited to have more of you listed. It really makes it very convenient and easy for food truckers to be found. This is an opportunity to, you know, also reach other places that you haven't thought of before. So when I use the app, I'm looking for, you know, what's near me, you know, what the prices are looking like. And it's been really helpful for me personally in that standpoint. And I want to be very clear on some things. One of the reasons why we have brought on sponsor partners this season is really not just to do ads or whatnot. It is because I want to celebrate and I want to partner with brands I truly do believe in, that I believe are going to move the food truck industry forward and have moved the food truck industry forward. And Eat Okra has a proven track record of being involved in the food industry, and more specifically for Black owners. And I'm very excited to see that grow and expand with food truckers. So by all means, I want you to download that app. And when you do, send a screenshot, post it on Instagram, tag Eat Okra and tag me in it, because I am very excited about seeing this app continue to just grow and expand. Hey, food truck foodies. Here's a podcast that tells you where to find the best peach stuffed beignets, some of the best barbecue, but more importantly, some of the best stories of food truckers that make the meals that we enjoy during every lunch hour and on Food Truck Fridays. The Food Truck Scholar Podcast is where food, business, and stories collide. Join me, your host, Ariel D. Smith, each and every week as we sit down with folks from Food Network contestants to former bank executives to those who are self-trained and formerly trained chefs. It doesn't matter. We introduce you to entrepreneurs from all walks of life that are ready to feed your mind with tips to start your own food truck, stories that will fill your heart, and tempting meals to fill your stomach. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, and all of your other favorite platforms. Don't forget to rate and review. Welcome back to the Food Truck Scholar Podcast. Let's dive in to the main dish discussion. So I get this question a lot. Ariel, how did you start researching food trucks? Well, here's how I got started, y'all. I was in my first year of my PhD program at Purdue, and just like all first years, we are apprehensive and anxious trying to figure out what our dissertation topic is going to be. And this is not what my original research topics were going to be, you know? So when I applied, I was looking at, you know, higher education institutions and the ways in which, you know, anti-Blackness is perpetuated through the system. That was my first plan. Then my second plan was, I like entrepreneurship. I want to study, you know, African-American informal educational pathways. So what does all of that mean? I know, because I'm not always talking to academics and we can always have that academic jargon. So what that basically means is, how do African Americans learn to become entrepreneurs? Many business case studies often leave out Black businesses as examples, except when it's time to talk about businesses that fail. So I wanted to know, if we're not represented in business case studies, if we're not represented in the social studies textbooks, you know, the only time we really talk about business in social studies is when we're talking about the Gilded Age and we're talking about Carnegie and Rockefeller and so many other different people. Well, we actually had Black folks that were also on the level of Carnegie, Rockefeller, Cornelius Vanderbilt, and so on and so forth. We just don't talk about them. So I was curious, is where do we see Black entrepreneurship? How are we taught the ins and outs of entrepreneurship and how to be a business owner when formal education really leaves out that representation? So that's what I was going to do initially. And I was thinking about exactly how I was going to set it up. I was meeting with different people on campus and I was trying to piece together, you know, my academic pathway of in terms of how I was going to become, within 5 years' time, God willing, Dr. Ariel D. Smith. Well, that all changed when I one day got out the shower, got on Instagram, and got upset. You know, and you know, if I call it what it was, I was jealous. I was jealous, y'all. All of my friends and a lot of my Facebook friends were on Instagram and Facebook, and they were posting their food, as we millennials are known to do. But they were posting plates from Black-owned food trucks in Birmingham. And by the time I left Birmingham in 2016 and came to Purdue in 2017, there were definitely more food trucks in the area than when I had left. And y'all, I was bitter. I ain't gonna lie. I was bitter because West Lafayette does not have a single Black-owned food truck. We do not have a Black-owned restaurant that I've seen. There's no brewery that's Black-owned. There's no pub. There's no ice cream shop. There's no hamburger place. There's no soul food place at all. We don't even have a Popeyes or Church's Chicken. And I know that they are not Black-owned, but I'm just saying, we don't have none of that here. It's rough in these streets. We have to drive an hour and 15 minutes south to Indianapolis, or you got to make that 2-hour trek to Chicago. In the snow, your girl ain't going to do that. So it can be kind of rough up here, especially as someone who's pretty used to being in areas that at least have that type of representation, that have Black-owned restaurants, that have soul food, that, you know, just have the things that I'm very much used to seeing, and not just cities that I've lived in like Birmingham or Nashville, but other cities as well. But that comes with the territory of living in a small area. But nevertheless, I was homesick. I was hungry. I was angry. I was jealous. I was bitter. But whatever word you want to put there. And I wanted to know, why were all these Black-owned food trucks popping up after I leave Birmingham? Like, what's up? What's up with that? And so I started doing my own personal research to answer the question. I was wondering if gentrification had anything to do with it. I was thinking, you know, maybe with, you know, the property, you know, rent rising and all the different type of stuff, you know, maybe it just did not make the most logical sense to do a food truck. Maybe that was a barrier to entry. And so the food truck provided the easier access to the market with lower barrier to entry, lower cost, all that type of stuff. So that was my hypothesis. I tried doing some literature reviews and going through my university database to see if there were any scholars that had, you know, made that connection or at least something in the ballpark about Black-owned food trucks, and I couldn't find anything. I found a lot about Mexican-American, Latinx food trucks or loncheras. I even saw a couple of articles that talked about white-owned food trucks, particularly white gourmet food trucks and gentrification. I saw nothing at all about Black food trucks. So nobody was really answering the question that I had. And so I came to class later that day. I was in my seminar class. It's the intro to American studies. And I'm with my cohort. We're all first years. And our professor asked us, how are the midterm papers coming along? And we were stone silent because we really had no idea what we were going to write about. We were all nervous. We were trying to figure out, is this going to be my dissertation topic? Like, we felt as if whatever decision we made then was possibly going to be our dissertation topic. We were stressed. We were all still trying to figure out what American studies was. It was just a lot. And so my professor could clearly see the panic on all of our faces and said, hey, don't make this about your dissertation. Don't do that. Instead, write me an 8 to 10 page paper on the question that's on your mind at this moment. And y'all, that was my question. What's up with these Black-owned food trucks in Birmingham? Why are they popping up right now all of a sudden? Is gentrification a part of it? So I posed that question because that was sincerely the question that was on my mind at the time. And one thing that I'm so grateful for with my professor, shout out to Dr. Bill Mullen, was that he listened to that topic. And not only did he was like, okay, yeah, you know, go ahead and write this paper, but he also pushed me further. He was like, I'm really fascinated by how you're thinking about this. He wanted me to think about, you know, the capitalistic structures that were at place and, you know, the spatial analysis and all this type of stuff. So I was like, okay, bad. Like, okay, we got a paper topic. We are going somewhere. Very excited about that. I turned in that paper and yeah, I got an A. I did. The overachiever in me wants to let you know that. But what I also enjoyed was the opportunity to really sit down and start talking to some food trucks. It made me start paying attention way more. So I'm not a stranger to the food truck industry. When I was in Birmingham, of course, I heavily sought after Travis Truck for a while, Brianka Snack Shack and Nola Ice. And we also had some food trucks that came through UAB, my alma mater, Go Blazers, while we were getting our student center rebuilt. So I had definitely seen them, you know, both those that were Black owned and those that were not Black owned, like Saw Street Kitchen. But we really just saw an uptick in Black owned food trucks 2016, 2017. And I left Birmingham in July of 2016. So I had a lot of questions. And doing that project really gave me the opportunity to not just look at Birmingham, but to look at Black owned food trucks across the country. I can't tell you how many hours I was on Twitter just watching the threads and reading what people had to say and reading all of these articles. And I realized something is that I wasn't the only person that had questions about Black owned food trucks. People were looking for food trucks that were Black owned. People wanted to know where they were. People wanted to specifically talk about food trucks that were giving back in their community, that were supportive of their community. And as much time as I spent reading all of this information, I couldn't find an academic scholar that was talking about Black-owned food trucks. I had met or I came in contact with a lot of academic scholars that were talking about Black foodways, and we are indebted to the work that they've done. But there was nothing about Black-owned food trucks. So I was like, okay, you know what? This could be an opportunity for me to not just eat my way to a degree, but really to answer some of the questions that I have, but also an opportunity to really delve into this topic that not a lot of people are really saying anything about, but it's important. You know, food is important to the Black community. Food is important to any culture. But for us specifically, it is how we gather. It is how we, you know, test the waters to see if we vibe with you or not. It is how we laugh. It is how we celebrate when the baby took their first steps. It is how we celebrate graduations. It's how we do so much. And for that to not be included, I just couldn't think of it. It became very quickly more than just Black-owned food trucks and gentrification. It just simply became, you know, Black-owned food trucks and what they mean for the culture. And of course, I've also had a moment where I studied Black-owned food trucks and hip hop, and I'm still doing some pieces on that as well. So that's really how that came about in terms of my scholarship. How did I actually study food trucks? Now, how do we get here to the Food Truck Scholar as a brand, and more specifically the podcast? Well, that came about because at the end of my first year, one thing that became very apparent to me is that I wanted to present my research in a way where it was not one-sided. I could very easily do my dissertation. And let me be clear before I say anything else. I am not saying this to put down anyone who does this because, hey, we all know that getting a PhD is no easy feat. So this is no shade to anyone at all. This is just my personal convictions. This is my personal preference, if you will. I could very easily, you know, write my dissertation, go get IRB. That's basically institutional approval from my university for me to collect data, right? And make sure that I do it, you know, ethically. And find some food trucks that would be willing to talk to me. Record the interview, write it up, put it in my dissertation. My committee reads what I wrote. I become Dr. Ariel D. Smith, and then boom, we're done. You never hear from me again. That could be done. Happens all the time. I felt as if we have too many situations where researchers go into not just Black communities, but marginalized communities, underestimated communities, pull what they can so that it can advance them. And you never hear anything from them ever again. You never get anything out of it that would benefit you other than just making yourself feel good that you helped somebody with their degree. I wanted to do more than that. I wanted, at the very least, I wanted to create a platform where the stories could be heard. Not just read in my dissertation, but like actually heard. You could hear, you know, the wins, the challenges, the losses, the frustrations, the laughter, like all of that. Like, that's what I wanted. And I looked at television and I saw that, yeah, you got some food truck shows out there, but there's nobody that's really, you know, in my opinion, bringing the everyday into food trucking. The story is what mattered to me. So that's how that came about. And so originally we started the podcast. Well, no, actually, we started with just a YouTube video. So if you go back to my YouTube, because I don't get rid of anything, you will see that my very first thing ever as the food truck scholar was a channel called Le Foodie Noir. And I jumped in my car and I drove to Peoria, Illinois, 3 hours away. And I got a chance to interview Betty and Spank Edwards of the BB Queen. That was the very first thing we ever did. And then after that, we did Instagram Lives. And at that point in time, this was 2018, the platform was solely, you know, Black food truck owners at that time. And part of that was because, you know, I was making it very close to my research as possible. Well, as time went on, I realized something is that I definitely want to hear the voices of everybody in the food truck industry, but I still want to keep Black food trucker and Black food experiences central to it. And the reason being is because oftentimes Black content creators, Black food creators, whether it's from the chef standpoint, the media standpoint, what have you, we tend to get overlooked quite a bit, except when it's time for Black History Month. But beyond that, we tend to get overlooked. And I wanted to create a show where we could have people from all different walks of life, but you become accustomed to seeing more and more Black people because you need to learn what the Black experience is all about, which goes back into my current research right now. So I'm out to challenge what we think is the profile of a food trucker, number one, and also a Black food trucker. You know, there's a stereotype that, you know, most food truckers, they come from this background, you know, and there's still some negative stereotypes out there about food trucks, about how they're not clean, they don't do this, they don't do that. I want you to actually hear the people's stories for themselves. I want you to hear the passion for their business. I want you to hear how seriously they take their business. And then beyond that, if they're in your area or you can travel there safely, I want you to check them out. I want to hear your thoughts. So we opened up the podcast to everyone, but we still keep the primary lens to Black food truck owners. We launched the very first season in March of 2019. And I'm going to be honest. When we did that, I was extremely nervous. I had no idea how this would even go. I had did about maybe 4 or 5 Instagram lives before that. Some, you know, did really good. There was also moments where only 4 people ever came into the Instagram live and only 1 person stood throughout the whole interview one particular time. So I was like, I don't know if I really will have enough material to even get through a first season. Like, how many episodes do you even do in a season? I had no idea. So I was following the antiquated TV model of having, you know, maybe 22 episodes. And I was like, okay, well, 22 would be a goal. If I can't do that, we'll do at least 10. But like, but what if I don't get the 10? Or what if I do get the 10, but I can't get no one else for another season? Like, I just had all of these doubts and what ifs that crept into my mind. And finally, I got the push to do it anyway. And y'all stepped up and supported me in a way that it still makes me tear up a little bit, because not only did we get 10 people, not only did we get 22, we did over 30 episodes that week, that season. We did over 30 episodes that season. And yeah, there were some people that said, hey, we want to do it, and they backed out, and that's life. But to have over 30 episodes when I didn't think I was even going to get 10, absolutely amazing. We went international our very first season. We had listeners from all over the globe listening to the podcast in our very first season. From there, we went into season 2. And I told y'all that I was going to take a break, because y'all came in heavy signing up. And I was like, listen, I got to take a break. I got to take my prelim examinations. I really got to study. I really got to read, got to prepare for that. So we're going to take a break so I can study. We're going to come back for season 2 in 2020. But I know that I got to take my prelims. I also got to do my proposal defense. So I'm not going to do every week like I was doing. I'm going to do bi-weekly so it can be a little bit easier on myself. Not knowing that 2020 was going to be the year that it has been, not knowing that COVID-19 was going to be here, not knowing that many of the guests that I interviewed, a lot of the events they were talking about was going to get canceled, not knowing that some of the people that we were going to, you know, talk to may not be in operation, you know, just didn't know that, but we had to go with the flow. And still 23, 24 episodes in, season 2 was absolutely phenomenal. We talked to so many different people. We've been featured so many different places. So I would be remiss if I did not shout out Joanna Mayer with Science Addiction. And they had a season on food. And so for 2 episodes, they shouted us out. So thank you, NPR. Thank you, Science Addiction. We got a chance to write for Cuisine Noir within our first season, actually. So if you don't know about Cuisine Noir, that is the first and, to my knowledge, the only large publication or magazine that's geared to food, Black food, wine, and travel. So check out Cuisine Noir. I had a wonderful opportunity to pen a couple of articles there. And just featured in so many different places that really humbled me and, you know, confirmed in a way that this work is needed, you know? And so now we're at season 3. And y'all showed out. If I thought you showed out for season 1, if I thought you showed out for season 2, season 1, I didn't think y'all would get 10 guests. Season 2, I was amazed that we had started recording it back in September of 2019, started releasing episodes in 2020, was able to stay afloat in the midst of COVID. I did not think that was going to happen. I really thought that we were going to fall off and not have any guests. But not only that, It is the very first day of the season. I'm actually recording this in advance. I'm recording this in February, just a couple of weeks before the season release. And I am absolutely floored because just the other day, I had to announce that we have no more openings left for interviews for season three. Season three hadn't even began, and we are completely out of interview spots for this year. But that's not even the big part, y'all. We are back to weekly episodes, and this is the largest season we have ever done. This is 40 episodes deep. So y'all booked the girl out from March 1st all the way through November 22nd. And I am just so humbled, so grateful, so thankful to all of you for making this a platform for so many to enjoy. So just thank you for that. We can spend a good bit amount of time talking about the places it's been featured and where it's been done. But ultimately, what you need to know is that we have been able to reach people around the world, and people have started to take notice, and all of that is because of you. Did you save room for dessert? I may be out of time, but I'm definitely not out of material. Make sure you follow the Food Truck Scholar on all social media platforms, including our YouTube channel, and join the All Things Food Trucks Club on Clubhouse. I can't wait to connect with you. But for now, I'm Ariel D. Smith signing off, reminding you to buy local, eat local, and support your neighborhood food truck. I'll see you next week.